Exodus 25 and reading at verse 31. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made, his shaft and his branches, with his bowls, his knots, and his flowers shall be of the same. And 6 branches shall come out of the sides of it, 3 branches of the candlestick out of one side, out of the one side, and 3 branches of the candlestick out of the other side. 3 bowls made like unto almonds, with a knot and a flower in one branch, and 3 bowls made like almonds in the other branch, with a knot and a flower. So in the 6 branches that come out of the candlestick. And the candlestick shall be 4 bowls, made like unto almonds, with their knops and their flowers. And there shall be a knop under 2 branches of the same, and a knop under 2 branches of the same, and a knop under 2 branches of the same, according to the 6 branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knops and their branches shall be of the same. All of it shall be one beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the 7 lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. And the tongues thereof, and the snuff dishes thereof, shall be of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall he make it, and with all these vessels. And look that thou make them after the pattern which was showed thee in the mount. And again, chapter 24 of the book of Leviticus, please. Verse 1. Leviticus 24 and verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. Without the veil of the testimony, in the tabernacle of the congregation shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning, before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. Now we do trust that the Lord might give his blessing again to the reading of his good and precious word. Now, we're coming, child of God, to the next vessel that is brought before us in the book of Exodus. There are a few folks here that were at, they tell me I gave a little word on this one Lord's Day morning in Brisbane, at Conference Hall. Now, if those folks want to go to sleep, they're quite welcome. Because whether there'll be too much added, I don't know. But if you were there then, you can go to sleep now. But you're the only ones that are allowed to go to sleep. The rest of you have just got to keep awake. There'll not be too long, I trust, with this session, and I trust it might be a blessing to us. I wanted to take a look now, child of God, at this lovely candlestick, as it's termed there, in verse 31. And the word really is a lampstand. Because you see, this was actually a lampstand. And the lamps were placed in the top of this, well, of the lampstand. We're going to see two very distinct things today. Number one, the lampstand. Can you see over this side all right? Good, that's fine. The lampstand and its branches. There were two distinct things in connection with the lampstand and its branches. This is the lampstand. And that alone is the lampstand. It was known as a 7-branched lampstand. Because, or 6 branches, I suppose, but they call it 7 branches because it is a branch. But nevertheless, this is the lampstand. These, child of God, are the branches. Now, as you take a look, you'll see that very clearly. Verse 31, thou shalt make a candlestick or a lampstand. You see, a candle has external power. The lampstand, of course, has internal power. It is a lamp with the oil inside it, and the oil would obviously speak of the energy and power of the Holy Spirit, whereas a candle, of course, has things external. So that this here is not external light, but the light is internal, coming from the power and energy of the Holy Spirit. But you will make a candlestick of pure gold, he tells us. Then you'll notice, he says here in verse 32, and 6 branches shall come out of the side of it. And again, it says in the verses, 3 branches of the candlestick out of the one side, and 3 branches of the candlestick out of the other side. And again, you'll find the same expression when you come down to verse 33. The 6 branches that come out of the candlestick. and in the candlestick shall be four bowls, and so on. You'll find the same thing in verse 35 when it talks about the six branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Now, what I'm trying to do right at the very outset is just to bring before you that this is the candlestick, or this is the lampstand. And with it, linked to it, are these branches. And they all make up one lampstand. It's a lovely thing when you come down to verse 39. It tells us, of a talent of pure gold shall he make it with all these vessels. So that these all came out of the same lump of pure gold. And they were made out of one lump of pure gold. So we've got here a lampstand, and we've got its branches. Now what I'm going to suggest to you today, child of God, is that this lampstand is Christ. That's what I'm going to suggest to you. But I'm also going to suggest to you that these branches are the saints of God. These branches are you. These branches are me. And we're going to learn what to me are some wonderful truths. Wonderful truths. As we see ourselves linked with the lovely person of our Lord Jesus. And as we see again at what God has made us in Christ Jesus. To me, child of God, great truth, linked now to this lampstand, as it would teach us where you and I are, as linked to our blessed Lord, the Lord Jesus. This lampstand was over here on the south side of the tabernacle. Now, one thing that we shall learn is, child of God, it must have been the first vessel that they saw when they went in there. Because the Bible tells us that they were to burn the lamps thereof continually before the Lord. So that the lamps were ever burning. So that when I moved in here, obviously, the shining light, that would have been the first thing that would have occupied my mind. My attention would have been drawn to it. This is the first thing I would have seen inside the sanctuary. Now, there's one or two very simple, basic things. I remember many years ago being in a Bible reading in Harley Street of Scotland. And I remember the brother, he gave us that night the lampstand. But you know, we never learned what that lampstand was. Never. He had a picture of the lampstand up on the wall. And he took us through the lampstand. But that lampstand was everything. One minute that lampstand was Christ. The next minute, that lampstand was you and me in testimony. One minute, it was it was light in the sanctuary. The next minute, it's light in the world. And I want to tell you, at the end of the meeting, there was a young fellow got up, and he just simply asked, "Can somebody tell us what this lampstand is?" Because let me tell you, it's been everything. Wherever the word lampstand had been used in the Bible, this brother took it up and he linked it with this lampstand. One minute it was the seven churches in Asia. And so on. Well, I want to tell you what it is tonight. Today, sorry. I want to tell you what it is. And child of God, one thing that we must recognize, that this here is not what we have of the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." That's not this lampstand, please. For the world never saw it. This lampstand never shone outside here. As far as the tabernacle was concerned, there was a light that shone here. That was the light of the sun. The light of the world, by the way. For the sun is the light of the world. Isn't it? And that's why the Lord Jesus said, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light." And if I can just follow the sun in its orbit, I would never walk in darkness. So that in John 8, he's obviously got the sun before his mind when he said, "I am the light of the world, and if I can just follow Christ as I'm moving through the world, I'll never walk in darkness." But this is not the light of the world, because this wasn't for the world. This, child of God, was not for testimony. This was light for the sanctuary. And this was light for priests. That's what it was for. Well, no, it wasn't. We're going to learn that in a minute. That's what it would seem. And it would seem that when I'm going in here, just remember, all natural light is excluded. These heavy curtains that came over the boards of the tabernacle, this great big door,
a very thick material, it would have excluded all natural light from here. No windows, you see. But God doesn't want natural light in things divine. And you never bring what is of nature into the things of God. For this is for God, child of God, and what must be here must be of God and for God alone. It must be according to his mind, it must be according to his will. But though that lampstand would have lit up this holy place, we're going to learn today that the prime object of that lampstand was not for this. It did that. That was one of the benefits of it. But that wasn't the main reason why that lampstand was brought into the holy place. Interesting, if the sun lit up the court, and if the lamp did light up the holy place, you remember here the Shekinah glory of God, don't you? And I love that lovely verse in the book of Revelation, when speaking of that glorious city, the saints of God in a future day in administrative glory. What does it say? No need of the sun. No need of the lamp. For God is the light of it. And we're going to dwell, child of God, eternally, in the light of the presence of God himself in a day to come. The court had the light of the sun. The sanctuary had the light of the lampstand. For the holiest of all, it had the light of God. And eternally, you and I are going to dwell in the divine light in a day to come, says the book of the Revelation, chapter 21. There's no need of the sun, no need of the lamp, for God and the Lamb are the light thereof. We'll ever be living in the sanctuary of the holiest of all. But we've got to learn a little bit about this lampstand just now. For there are a few things about it, child of God, that will teach us something of what that lamp really did. And what the object of that lamp really was. We're going to learn what it means for you and me to be linked to Christ. But to me, that's a wondrous thing. But we're going to learn that it's all made of one piece. It's all out of the same material. It's all out of gold. Every bit of it. No wood here. No acacia wood here. Two vessels of the tabernacle. Well, sorry, one in every part. Here, a mercy seat of gold. No wood. Here, a lamp, all of gold. And out here in the court, one vessel of brass. No wood. So that in each of the spheres and places of the tabernacle, there was one vessel that only had one element linked with it. But here, it's all gold. Now, I'm going to tell you exactly what I told you earlier on this morning. That this lampstand, child of God, this gold, it must speak of what is divine. What is of God. It speaks, child of God, of the deity that must mark our Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have the Christ of God in all his glory. The Son of God, divine, eternal in his character. This was the substance, gold. But I want you to notice, please, its shaping. Because here the Bible tells us, in verse 31, thou shalt make a candlestick or a lampstand of pure gold of beaten work. And that really means, the word there literally means to mould by hammering. It's the same word that is used in connection with the cherubim. There is a different word when it comes to use of that oil olive. The word that is used for oil olive, when that's made of beaten work. That's a vastly different word, child of God. And it's a word that literally has the idea of bitter enmity and opposition in it. We haven't time to look at those things today. But just these are moulded by hammering. Here I see my blessed Lord taking his place in governmental authority, coming out of the deep sufferings of Calvary. For this will speak of his governmental authority, his future glory that's going to be manifest to a wondering world, now at the right hand of God, but soon to be displayed to all men, as all are going to put beneath his feet, and here brought in as a result of the deep sufferings of the Lord Jesus. I tell you, child of God, if my blessed Lord had not had an earthly pathway, and if he'd not known the sufferings here, we would never be able to understand Christ, would we? Nor will we have ever known divine purpose that linked us to Christ. But we're going to see now, when we come to these lampstands, the same material. Oh, there's a problem, isn't it? Eh? Gold. Divine. There's a problem. But I tell you, I'm certainly not like Christ. And I'm certainly not eternal. Not by any stretch of imagination. Bless God, I've now got eternal life. But there is a problem. If this is Christ and these branches are you and me, and this child of God, we are linked to Christ and we're all made of the same material, it means we all bear the same character, you know. I want you to listen. But let me tell you again, child of God, it all only came into being as a result of the earthly pathway here. You could never have known this lampstand without the hammering, without the beating. And that pure lump of gold, beaten out until the beauty of this lampstand is brought before us. And it would tell me now that God is displaying all that was in his mind relative to the lovely person of our Lord Jesus. And let me tell you what was in his mind relative to you, right from eternal times. The child of God, you were in the heart of God. You were in the mind of God. By divine choice, you were linked to Christ eternally. Ephesians chapter 1, chosen in him. For these lampstands are linked to him. Sorry, these branches are linked to him. And you're linked to him. But that divine choice was eternal in its character. And we're going to see today that when God linked us to him, let me tell you, to link us to him with the very same nature and with the very same being as linked with our Lord Jesus. But let's go back, because here we discover the substance and its shape, its size. We don't know what its size was. Somebody has told us that all these vessels of the tabernacle, they could all fit into this great brazen laver. Well, I don't know. It may be true that you could put them all in that brazen laver. The only problem is, I don't know how big this fellow was here. The Bible doesn't tell us. And what's more, I don't know how big this fellow was either. The Bible doesn't tell me about that. And so I'm making an assumption that they could all fit in here if I follow what the good brethren tell me. They tell me every vessel could fit into this. Whether it could or not, I don't know, because I don't know how big this was, and I don't know how big that was. Now I'm going to show you, child of God, you cannot limit Christ in all his glory, can you? For we're going to see this is Christ in all his glory. You cannot limit that. You can't put a size to that. And let me tell you, when it comes to cleansing, you can't limit that either. So I'm very glad that my Bible doesn't tell me how big this is. And I'm very glad my Bible doesn't tell me how big this is. But it does tell me, when I come down to verse 39, it just says, of a talent. And that word talent literally means a circle. A circle. Round. Telling me, child of God, when I think again of the circle and I think of what is round, oh, many truths in this tabernacle that must be repeated, just telling me of the eternal character of our Lord Jesus Christ. Telling me of one, the blessed Son of God, eternally the Son, coming forth now, but linked with the saints of God, and I'm going to say again, you and I linked with him in divine purpose, right from eternity. Before the worlds were made, Adam's clay was formed. What a blessed thing. God knew you. And God knew me. I love those verses in the book of Romans, you know. Whom he did foreknow. Some brethren are trying to tell us he didn't know anything about me. And let me tell you, I've suddenly found a lot of verses. I've got to change the whole character of them in my Bible. And one of them's Romans 8. But I can't say now, according to certain teachings, whom he foreknew. I've got to say what he foreknew. That he also did predestinate. There's some strange teachings coming out lately that will rob me in my heart of knowing that the God of heaven knew all about me. That little boy from the slums of Manchester. Kicked from pillar to post. Battered and hammered. Wondered if there was any point to life. Standing at the end of the road. Wondering whether to throw myself under a bus when it came. Just to do away with it all. But I didn't know. My God knew all about me. And God had chosen me. And restraining hands were put on me that day. When I wanted to finish with this sad world into which I'd been brought. For God was going to link me to his Son. And God was going to link me to him eternally, indissolubly. And link me there with a nature which I could never have conceived of. Gold. And Romans chapter 8. Not what he foreknew. It's not events. It's whom he foreknew. Them he also did predestinate. Child of long, God, long before I came here, God knew all about me, and God had a purpose for me. And you know what that purpose was? To be conformed to the image of his Son. And long before I ever came, again, he tells me, chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Holy? Well, I think I told you before, didn't I? Adam was never holy. Adam was created in innocence. But never holy. But child of God, when God's finished with you, let me tell you what his Son is, exactly what you'll be. Holy. And you'll never, ever sin again. And failure will never, ever mark you again. For the divine purpose, when God had you in his heart, and God had you in his mind, was that the day would dawn when you would be before him. These lamps, you know, were to be lit before him. For God wanted us before him. He didn't only want the bread before him. He wanted the lamps lit before him. All this is just for God's pleasure, you know. But let me come back before we touch that. There's an interesting thing now. If we see in this lampstand Christ, if we see in this gold the deity of our Lord Jesus, if we see in the fact there in verse 39 that it was of a talent, it would bring before us the eternal deity, the eternal being of the blessed Son of God. I notice now that when we come to verse 31 again, he speaks about his shaft. In verse 31, not only his substance, his shaping, his size, but his shaft. And in verse 31 it says, and thou shalt make a lampstand of pure gold, of beaten work shall the lampstand be made, his shaft and his branches. Now I was very interested to find that that word shaft, it literally meant the word thigh. Thigh. If you were to turn back to Exodus chapter 1, you'll find the word there. Because in Exodus chapter 1, speaking of those that went down to Egypt, it tells us here in verse 5, and all the souls that came out of the loins, exactly the same word, coming out of his thigh, coming out of his shaft, and all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. If you were to go into the book of Judges, you'd find with, hear me now, the main name's man, very good man. I can't even find Judges, but it's there somewhere, I can tell you. Joshua Judges. He's actually called Jeriah Baal, you see, at this time. I could do with Mr. McVeigh here just now, because he knows an awful lot about the book of Gideon, the man I'm looking for. Why could I forget Gideon? Hey? Gideon's the name I was looking for. But with Gideon, child of God, it talks about 70 sons that came out of his thigh. That's the same word. Exactly. See what I'm driving at now? Here's the lampstand. His thigh. And out of that thigh come out of the branches. And child of God, just as Jacob had 70 sons, or 70 souls, and just as Gideon had 70 sons, here we are, coming out of the side of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if this would speak again of the saints of this dispensation, you know, Jew and Gentile. Three on either side, coming out of the Lord Jesus Christ, linked to the Christ of God. But how are we linked? Ah, this is important now. For child of God, as we've said, this is gold. We've no difficulty, have we, in seeing Christ in all his deity. But look, what about you? What about me? For it's all gold. How can I see you as gold? One thing to see me now in eternal purpose. And to see what God's going to do with me when he's finished. But how can I see you as gold? We know what gold symbolises, don't we? Well, let me tell you. You're not linked to Christ, naturally. You're linked to Christ on the grounds of new birth. Will you get this now? For I want you to see what God has made you. I read exclusive books a long time ago. I still read them. I'm very careful with them. I have a big library, maybe a couple of thousand books on Genesis to Revelation, maybe 30 or 40 books on this subject here. If I read them more carefully, maybe I'd be a wee bit better, I'm not too sure, but nevertheless, I've got them, you know. But I've read these exclusive books that would try and tell me that I'll never rise to the fullness of what God has made me. I want you to think of your new birth, child of God. When you were saved, I told you I was saved on March the 17th of 1951. Before I got off my knees, I knew that something had happened. I didn't know Romans 8 then, that I'd got the Spirit of God. But I never forget this, as I walked out 2 minutes later, from the time I came in to going out, in those 2 minutes the transaction had taken place, and I was eternally saved. And as I walked out of the house, I looked towards heaven, and I knew that heaven was my home, and I knew that God was my Father. I knew it. His Spirit witnessed with my spirit that I was the, what? Son of God. Eh? Who's this? He's the Son of God. What are you? Son of God. And you're a son of God on the grounds of birth. Now, it's never in the singular, by the way. It's always plural. We're seen as sons, rather than son individually. There's one that's unique. That's why he stands out above the rest, you know. But you and I, all the sons of God. But child of God, we're there on the grounds of birth. When I was born with the nature of my father. That's why I'm so ugly, you know. And that's why everything's falling to pieces. Because my old father gave me his nature, and he was pretty ugly too. But all the same ilk, you know. But when I was born again, I got the nature of my father. Will you listen to Peter? Chapter 2, his second epistle, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, when it tells us that we have become partakers of the divine nature. That's an amazing statement, you know. An amazing statement. You rise to this today. You're far more than any man of the world. There is that which is divine in you, child of God. When God saved you, when you were born again, God implanted divine nature. How did he do it? Well, Peter will tell you again. Born again, not of corruptible seed. That's what I got from my mother and father, but incorruptible. That's the seed that I got from heaven. And John will tell me again that we have received the very seed of God. I want to tell you, when you were saved, this was a real thing. And you were brought into the family of God on the grounds of birth. You were brought into the family of God with the seed of God in you. And you were brought into the family of God, child of God, with the nature of God imparted. Gold. Now, I'm only telling you what my Bible tells me. And every one of you, bless God for this. Child of God, listen. Far above anything and everything that this world could ever know. For this is what God has made you, as gold now marks you. In this all of you linked to the lovely person of our Lord Jesus. What time do we start? What time do we finish? Good. I'll need it. I'll need 5 or 10 minutes, at least. And we'll see. All I want to tell you, child of God, is I can understand now that this is Christ. I can understand this is me. And I can see why it's all out of gold. I can see the desire of God is that one day He'll have us before Him. Exclusive books say we'll never look upon God. They tell us no man has seen God. That's true, you know. No man has seen God. But you're not going to see Him as a man. You're going to see Him as one of the sons. And the Epistle of John in chapter 3, the great desire of God is that behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, and such we are. And child of God is speaking in those verses of the day when we're going to be before His presence. We're going to stand before the Father because He's given us a nature consistent with Himself. And one day we're going to stand in the presence of God Himself, and we're going to enjoy the presence of God. Just as the Lord Jesus gazes on the Father, so you'll gaze upon Him too. And bless God for the day. This lampstand and these branches tell me of the divine nature imparted, the very character of God that has been given as we've come out of the side. Oh, bless God for that blessed man. And bless God again for what He did there at Calvary to link you and me to Him and link us to Him eternally. There's a number of features about this lampstand that I can't take with you. But what was the object of these branches, child of God? What's the object of all this? Well, there it is, when you come down to verse 37. Says verse 37, thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. One margin, one Bible says, over against itself. You see, the whole object of these lamps here, no, it was not to light up this. It did that. It was light for the priests. And they were moving in divine light when they moved in priestly exercise. They were not moving with the light of the world when they moved in priestly exercise. But child of God, the whole object of this was not primarily to light this. The whole object of this was to light this. You see, when you were linked to Christ, it was that you might make much of Christ. That's what God wants. And they'll cast light over against itself. And God wants you and me just to make much of the lovely person of our Lord Jesus. He's made much of us, hasn't He? He's brought us in, He's brought us up. But child of God, think what He's done with us. Think of the nature and character imparted to us, now linked to God's lovely Son. And I tell you, all God wants is that we'll make much of Christ. Now we read a lovely thing in the book of Leviticus chapter 24. Because if I'm going to make much of Christ, will you notice please, it says you'll light the lamps before the Lord. Eh? So I'm going to make much of Christ, but I'm going to make much of Him before the Father. And the whole object again of your life, child of God, just to make much of the lovely Son of God, but to make much of Christ before the Father. God just wants much of His lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Aye, the whole object of this, primarily, child of God, is just to make much of Christ before God. And for your heart to be taken up with Christ, my heart to be taken up with Christ, and just glorifying the lovely Son of God and making much of Him before the Father. That's what God wants. That's why He linked you to the lovely person of the Lord Jesus. It does say a little later in this book, I think it's chapter 37, it says you'll also light the lamps over against the table. I like that too. But you see, if I'm making much of Christ before the Father, then others have got to appreciate it, haven't they? The saints have got to appreciate it. But I'm doing it primarily for the Father's sake. But when I do it for the Father's sake, I get the blessing. And when you make much of Christ, I tell you, I love to be in the company of saints that are making much of Christ. Because let me tell you, if it's for the Father's pleasure, I'm getting the benefit of that too. Aren't I? Lovely, you know, the Lord's Day morning. To hear these brethren rising and making much of Christ. They're not doing it for me, I hope. They're doing it for the Father. But I tell you, it warms my heart and just causes me to rise. For you see, you light the lamps over against the table. Now, There's a little thing, and here's where certain of the saints at Brisbane from Thing can go to sleep. Because I notice a little thing down in verse 38. In verse 38, it says that you'll make the tongs thereof and the snuff dishes thereof of pure gold. Here they are, the tongs. Here they are, the snuff dishes. Now, I have no difficulty with those tongs, none. You see, I remember that those tongs, of course, there's a wick out here, and I've got very delicate hands. So as a priest, I'm going to need tongs now to tend the wick. For that wick had to be tended every morning, every evening. You see, we've got to keep the exercise of making much of Christ before the Father. We've got to do that constantly, you know. God wants me morning and evening just to make much of Christ. But I'm going to need these tongs to tend this wick. So I can see God now making provisions for me. But let me be careful. Because I notice in the book of Isaiah, when those seraphim, they came and took live coals off the altar, which one doesn't matter just now. Do you know how they took it? They took it with the tongs. Now let me tell you, I'd have to take it with the tongs. Because otherwise I'd burn my fingers. We used to have fires, and sometimes the fire would spit, you know, and a coal would fall out on onto my carpet. I didn't leave the thing there. And let me tell you, I didn't go outside to get a shovel, and I didn't go outside to get some tongs. As soon as that fell out, I was down and shoved it on as quick as I could, but I got rid of it as quick as I could too. Because I didn't want to hold a burning coal. Did I? Well, I burnt my fingers off. But when I come to the book of Isaiah chapter 6, I saw the seraphim. They took the tongs they took the burning coals with the tongs. Child of God, care in divine service. Will you mark that? They wouldn't have burnt the fingers. But if God says, this is the way you'll come, that's the way you'll come. Not for you to change it. Not for you to think you know better. Not for me to think I know better. I must have care in divine service. Those tongs would tell me that. But the snuff dishes. Well, I told them a long time ago, 2 years ago, these snuff dishes, child of God, what were they for? Oh, I got my books out. 30 or 40 of them. There was nobody touched the snuff dishes. They all passed it over. But I want to know why, what these snuff dishes are. And every book I looked to, I hadn't got them. But then I've got sets of commentaries on the scriptures, you see, as well as individual commentaries. And amongst these sets of commentaries, Kiel and Delisch. I think they're Germans. Name sounds that anyway. And I go to Kiel and Delisch, and I turn up Exodus chapter 25, and I discover a lovely little thing. Say, Mr. Kiel and Delisch, the snuff dishes. To hold the snuffings in. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Thank you. To hold the snuffings in? You know what the snuffings are, don't you? The old burnt out wick. Why should he want to hold snuffings in a golden snuff box? Why? I mean, let me face it, this was just yesterday's service, you see. And what I'm doing now, I'm trimming these lamps where were they? They were on the desert floor. There's no natural floor here, it's still on the desert floor. And all I got to do was just cut those up. Just blow them. And if I didn't like the things underneath my feet, well, that was easy enough. I can just give it a wee kick, you'll never see it. I can just send it into the desert floor. Oh, says God, no, sir. You'll not just blow this to the wind. You'll not just tread that underfoot. You'll put that in golden snuff boxes. Now, had it been on a beautiful Chippendale table, I could have understood it. You see, a piece might have dropped and burnt my table. So I'm going to need this to keep them, you see. But there's no table, there's just the desert sand. But says God, you'll not let that drop
and you'll not let that fall, and you'll not tread that underfoot. Why?
Child of God,
that is all your past service, isn't it? That's what you did when you were making much of Christ yesterday. And says God, you'll not blow that to the wind. You'll not tread that underfoot. I think of these dear men that have served God. Eh? I used to despise them when I was a young fellow, you know. I didn't know the assembly was all that it was because of what they'd done. They passed it. What they're still going on for. My God never despised it. My God kept all that in a golden snuffbox. The memory of past service maintained for the pleasure and glory of God. And child of God, all you've ever done for God, let me tell you, God's not going to blow that to the wind. He's not going to tread it underfoot. That's ever maintained before him. And bless God, the day will dawn when God will give you honour as a result of what you've done to glorify his Son before the Father.